You are lifted up high in this place. And before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all hail King Jesus. This morning, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are a holy God. You are a holy God. You're the Holy One. The Holy One, Lord. And we just posture our hearts right now to receive that which you want to come and do in our lives, Lord. We want to just say, Lord, come and open up. Lord, come and do what you want to do in our hearts today. Come and move upon us with your Spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will bring about a great freedom in our midst today. I pray that every shackle will be broken off today, Lord. I pray where as we were trying to follow Jesus, where our feet were stuck in the mud and there's suction and we can't pull our feet, I pray that suction will release today and there will be a freedom to walk in the things that the Lord has for us, Lord. We trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Maurice, and I'll be sharing the word with us this morning. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to do sort of a series. No? And it's called Fan or Follower. And basically, it's about discipleship, of what it means to follow Jesus. And it's not necessarily going to be in any significant order. We're just going to, we want to try and answer the question over the next few weeks of what does it mean to be a Christian? And so over the next few weeks, we're going to ask that question and then we're going to answer it in a way. And today, what does it mean to be a Christian? The topic that I want to just speak about is freedom in Christ. That it means that you are free. Galatians, I should actually take this thing out. As ek vergeet om te skuif, dan kan jy maar net vir my aanskuif. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You know, Jesus has come to set us free. And many times we are Christians, but we live in bondage. And Jesus actually have come to set us free. So the question, what does it mean to be a Christian, is that you are free. Or in the process of becoming more free. Or in the sense that you're actually helping others to come free. That is what a Christian is that you are free. You're no longer in slavery. When we were in the world, we were caught up in sin and bondage, and we were slave to sin and to things. But when Jesus stepped into our lives, we are set free of those things. So somehow we need to move on from a place of being in bondage, where we are as a believers are living as free. For the truth will set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, so what does it mean to be a Christian? It means you are free. Okay. And I saw in prayer meeting, I saw this picture of somebody's feet. I don't know if you've ever walked in mud, but you have your boots on and you walk in them and then it's stuck. And if you try to pull out your foot comes out of the wellies and the boot stays in the mud. And I think what I believe the Lord wants to come to is he wants to come and break the suction. That you can actually pull your feet out and start walking in the freedom that the Lord has for you. Okay. All right. So, let's read. Okay, there's one more scripture. Galatians 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is what Jesus came to do. He's delivered us. He set us free. And I'm going to read for us. So, please read with me in Luke 4. Verse 31 to 38 or something. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. And they were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. And now we're speaking about Jesus here, if you haven't missed this. Okay. And in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. in the church, a demon. Okay, so in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, and he cried out to the top of his voice. Ha! I like that. Huh? It's like, ha! What do you want to do with us? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Holy. He is the Holy One of God. And the demons realize this. And he says, and then Jesus speaks to him. He says, be quiet. Jesus said sternly, come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. That's quite interesting. And then all the people were amazed and said to each other, what is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding areas. Okay. And we see in the ministry of Jesus that the thing about casting out demons was quite a common thing. So if you read in Mark, it's a similar scenario, Mark 1 verse 33. It says, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And now this was where Jesus came and he prayed for Peter's mother. She had a fever and then she got healed. And so the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who he was. He was the Holy One of God. All right. And then in Mark 1, verse 39, it says, And he went throughout all Galilee and preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And this part is almost like a summary of Jesus' ministry. Like, that's something that accompanied who Jesus was, is that there was setting people free. That people were in bondage, and Jesus came in, and his thing was to help people to come to freedom. All right, so maybe you've wondered, what is he talking about today? So, well, today, okay, before I get to that, I want to get to this picture. Okay, we want to talk about the elephant in the room. Okay. We all know it's there, that there is something like the demonic. We know that there's a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness, of dominion of darkness. And there is an enemy, there's a devil, and he likes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And so in this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus is in a synagogue, which is in that day was like the Christian church. It was a church meeting and he was preaching with authority, and there was a man possessed by a demon. Now the NIV says possessed, but the word actually is the man have a demon. So it's not like he's completely controlled in, like he had a demon. That's the word that's used mostly in the New Testament of is to be demonized, is to have a demon. That's and you know something, this, it was a demon, an evil spirit, and he cried out with a loud voice. So what I want to do today is, and I don't usually preach about this, okay, but I don't know, some of you, if you're a visitor here, you're like, oh, I hope it's not going to be weird. You don't have to. Hopefully, I want to demystify and unspookify the whole thing of the demonic, and in a sense like that, we are not trapped by the enemy anymore and no longer like tossed to and throw. And there's a story that I heard when I shared it in church before, but it's about this young boy, and he was quite naughty. And he caught a bird in the field, and he put the bird in a cage. And then what he does is like, he would put the bird, and the bird would tweet, 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 and then he would run on the bird. And he scares the bird, and the bird's like, and you just see feathers go, and he's like, ah! And the boy is like, ah! And he's laughing at this bird, and he's going at this bird. And then he would hide behind a tree and put the cage there, and just wait until the bird is quiet, and he's like, wah! And you know, when I think about this story, it's almost like what the devil does. Is he has many of us trapped, And his whole thing is to harass us and to torment us and to like, wow, feathers. And if we don't realize that Jesus actually has come to set us free, we'll stay stuck in that cage. Now the story goes on that the man sees this. He comes by, he's taking a walk in the woods, and he sees the, and he comes to the boy and he says, "Can I please buy that bird from you?" And the boy says, "But this bird is useless. It means nothing. What do you mean you want to buy it?" He says, "No, make your price. I'll buy this bird from you." And the boy's like, "Yeah." And he says, "Like 100 rand, or like I don't know, a ridiculous amount for this bird." And he says, "Yes, your 100 rand." And he got the bird back, and then the man took the bird and he let it go. And that's basically what Jesus came to do. It's like we are caught in a cage, and the enemy is trying to harass us. And you know, sometimes we are so comfortable in this cage, but Jesus has come to set us free from that cage. And the reason why I'm speaking about this today, what I'm saying is like, I don't want to be weird about, I want to speak about the elephant in the room and just give us some handles. But even like this year, we have seen some demonic manifestations in our meetings. And you're like, "What is that? Are they going to jump on me?" Don't worry. Just give you some handles today that you don't have to be afraid. And realize what is the freedom that Jesus has for you, but then also for you to walk in that freedom, to help others walk in that freedom. Is that okay? Is everybody okay? Nobody wants to run out? Nobody wants to hit me? Okay. All right. I hope not. Okay. All right. So we find here there's an evil spirit in the church. It's like, it brings us to this question, the elephant in the room. What is a demon? Okay. Now, basically, the Bible speaks about a demon is a spirit, the evil spirit. And a demon doesn't have a body. So it's a spirit. So it's looking for a body. And he craves for a body through which he can act what he wants to do. So say you have an evil spirit that has like fear. So his function is fear. So he wants to come, and whoever the body that he finds, he wants to kind of harass that person with fear, with anxiety attacks, and just completely. And then what we do is like, "Oh, it's just my anxiety." No, you don't want that. It's not your thing. You need to get rid of it. If it's a spiritual thing, and remember what I want to say, just a disclaimer, not everything is demonic, okay? All right. So, but I want to, when it is demonic, what we want to do is when somebody is like a bit out and they're not fitting into church, we want to put them out of the church. But Jesus came, he didn't put the man out of the church, he put the demon out of the man. He set the person free so that he can follow Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Is you are free. So my aim of today is not to be weird, but to trust that each and every one of us will start walking in a greater measure of freedom. Everybody still okay? All right. So basically a demon, it's a spirit. It's a and what it does, it has this desire to inflict what they are. So I don't, when I do deliverance, I don't ask you, "What's your name?" I don't do that. I know, I speak to the function of what that spirit is. You get various spirits. You get fear, anger. I once prayed with a guy who struggled with anger. He's a big Free State boy, like stit. Huh? And I was praying, and this thing started manifesting. He was hitting with his fist against the floor. He's like looking at me, like, and it's like, "I want to hit you, but I can't." And I was just like, and anger, there's a manifestation, just as we saw in this thing, that there's sometimes these things, they want to live out. If it's anger, they want you to become angry and enraged. Or if it's lust, they want to kind of do that through, and they use your body. Now, I want to ask you, do you want to be used by an evil spirit? No. You want to be free. Do you want to be stuck in a cage with somebody rash and torments you the whole time? No. So let's speak about the elephant in the room and get them out of the room. Get it out of the place of where our lives are enslaved by the enemy. Now, Can a Christian have a demon? That's the next question. Thank you very much that you asked that question. All right. So, this is a silly picture, but I've seen it somewhere and I thought it's very helpful. So, this is like a circle. You can see with sin in the middle. There's a body and there's a soul. Now, this is sort of an explanation of who we are as people. We have a body, flesh. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then, before we known God, we were dead to God. Our spirit man was dead. It was dormant. And then, one day, somebody shares the gospel with us, and we realize, actually, he is alive. He's the King of Kings. And we repent of our sins, and by faith, we receive Him in our lives. And then, a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. It's like, come upon us. And 2 Corinthians 5 says, like, we are a new creation. We are free. God has come to make us new. But then the thing is, all we know, we all know this, that the day when you give your life to Jesus, you're not necessarily an angel. Some of the things that you still struggled with are still there. And so we are these Christians. Where's that part now? Okay. And basically what we have is like we have certain strongholds in our lives. Now a stronghold is not a demon. It's just, you know, the devil, he's a legalist. So he's looking for something to latch on in your life. So if there's unforgiveness in your life, it forms a stronghold. And you sit with this bitterness and this resentment in your life and unforgiveness. And then what a demon does, it comes and latch onto that thing. And then that's where the enemy actually comes in. So can a Christian have a demon? Yes, you can have the Holy Spirit in you. But a stronghold is an area of your soul that refuses to submit to the ruling authority of Jesus. So we all have these things. We give our life to, we're a new creation, but there are areas in our lives that refuses to submit. And we need to dismantle these strongholds. So even before we get to deliverance and being set free, there's a renewing of our minds. We are being washed. We are actually, there's spiritual discipline. We pray, we fast, and we get into the Word. And the truth are setting us free. Some of these strongholds is mindsets. And as we read the Word, it comes and it breaks down those mindsets. And then it loosens this hold. And actually that thing that the enemy, I see it like hooks. So he's hanging on this hook. And then you take the hook away and like, whoo! There's nothing for him to hold on anymore. As you dismantle these strongholds in your life. But many times we don't deal with these things. And they stay there. Okay, so there's a picture. So that black things are some strongholds. And they're usually in the soul area, in your mind, your emotions, and your attitudes. And then, these strongholds, Bethany calls it little tomatoes. Where's the little tomatoes? So now, these strongholds opens up doors for the enemy to come in, or they've been there before, and they come in and they start, they're looking for a body and they want to exercise their function through your life. If it's fear, they want to give you panic attacks. If it's infirmity, they want to make you sick. There's many things that they do to actually harass you with that. And then, so what happens is like we try to follow Jesus, but now this is really extreme case, but there are people that is as bound as this. And then it just gets like, come on, the Holy Spirit wants to live through me, but I'm just like, I'm stuck. I can't, my feet are stuck in the mud and I want to serve the Lord, but I can't. But what Jesus has come to do is he has come. All right, let me, before we go there. So three objectives of demons is to torment or torture us, to keep us from knowing Christ as our Savior, and to keep you from serving Him effectively. This is what they want to do. So you don't want them in your life. You don't want them near you. It's I always explain, it's like a spider web. He's like, come off, come off. I don't want you in my life. I don't want you. I want to be free, because Christians are free or are in the process of becoming more free. Or we are, when somebody is, bless you. when people are actually are going through difficult things, we are there in their lives and helping them to overcome these strongholds and to become more free. All right. All right. So let me see. So that's before deliverance, after deliverance. Oh. You can love Jesus. You can worship. Now, it's not always like this that you would actually completely be free at one time. There's a process of renewing our mind. So I don't always like, let's pray everything out. Like, let's deal with something and let's walk in that freedom. Take one step at a time and start walking in that freedom. So this looks quickly, it's all like one. But many times it's a process. But the thing about the enemy is he wants to enslave us. And let's look at some characteristic activities of demons. So they entice. It's like nobody will know. I mean, everybody else does it with these thoughts. They're like, and they entice you. It's like dangling a carrot in front of you. Just entice you, luring you out of following Jesus. That's what the demonic wants to do. They harass. Like the birdcage, like, and they want to torment us. That's what they want to do. And usually torment is when we're struggling to forgive people. You've heard me say many times, if you can do these two things, repent quickly, forgive quickly. We are trying to hold on to so many bondages of unforgiveness in our lives, and we need to get free from those things, because this gives the enemy a foothold in our lives. Do you want that? No, you don't want it. You want to be free, because this is who Christians are. They are free. They compel biting of nails, thumb sucking, comfort eating. Like, they compel us to indulge in things. That's what they remember, they're looking for a body and wanting to do it through somebody. And I just want to say, I'm not that body. I want to be free from it. I don't want to be some evil spirit to do things through me. And, you know, sometimes it's not like as crazy as like somebody is dressing in black and they look like. It's sometimes just as subtle as when you are nervous, you turn to food. Or you're getting nightmares and there's a fear that's harassing you and tormenting you. And you think, oh, it's just my problem. No, if it's a spiritual problem, deal with it spiritually. I've learned that you cannot counsel a demon. You just have to tell it to go. So I've seen with many times, you counsel somebody for years, and you speak to them. And then recently there was a scenario, and I said to them, you've self-disciplined, you've put in boundaries, you've put everything, but it just nothing is working. Can we try this? I organized a prayer time with this guy, and we prayed, and the Lord set him free. And for a year, he walked in freedom until the enemy came and trapped him again. So, you see, the enemy is looking for something to trap us. And we need to forgive, repent quickly, and we not need to open up these doors for the enemy to come and enslave us. And so there's something of a freedom that comes. They enslave alcohol addiction, smoking, drugs, any other things. They enslave you. And like you're trying your best to be free, but you've tried everything else. Maybe there's something that wants to, has an assignment through your life, and you actually need to take authority over that and to become free from those things. They defile. In worship times, come and fill your thoughts with evil, foul thoughts. Like you want to worship, and then just these things are plagued in your head. That's what they want to do. They want to stop you. They want to hinder you from serving Jesus. And the reason why I'm sharing this today is so that you can actually know that there is a real battle for you to not serve Jesus. And we need to be aware of this. Let's speak about the elephant in the room. And don't do what I've done. Okay, I know sometimes people go and do that. But don't do what I've done. When the first time I was exposed to deliverance ministry, and so somebody prayed for me, I became a demon hunter. Everything had a demon. And so we went around and we prayed for everything that moved, that looked like it. Don't do that. Not everything is demonic. But the thing is, when you've tried everything, this might be something also that you need to try. Okay, do you hear? We're not becoming demon focused. We stay Jesus focused. But we want to be Jesus focused and free. All right, that's why I'm sharing this. So I wanted to, like one of the crazy things I did, like just motors in say 20s, no? It's like we were at the camp and there was this Satanist that he was in the worship. And something you will see in these things is like when the presence of Jesus is so strong, these demons, they don't like it. They don't like, they're afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of the presence of Jesus. So sometimes in a meeting, the presence of Jesus is so strong. And then there's a manifestation. There's something. It's like, ha! Or a shriek or a shout or something. And they don't like these things. Now, we were in this worship time, and this guy, he was a Satanist. He came to the camp, the Christian camp. I don't know. God had an appointment. And in the meeting, he jumped off and he ran around the campsite. And we's like, we followed him. We were chasing him down. And one guy did a flying tackle. Woo! Grab him. Put him to the ground. And we like praying. And like, we had no clue. We were like, don't do that. I'm just saying, this is what you should not do. And then the leader of the camp, he came and he's like, what are you guys doing? And I was like, no, can't you see? This is like, and he says, no, stop. And he spoke to the person, quiet him down, take authority over it, and choop. I'm like, what did you do? and just, I've learned actually that there's a, it's not about becoming crazy, wild people. It's Jesus, and this guy was the leader of the camp. He understood his authority in Jesus. He stepped in. It wasn't about demons. It was about the person that can set that person free. So that's the emphasis. Okay, I want to constantly flag that so that you don't walk out here and think, what is he speaking about? Oh, Jesus wants to come and set us free of those things that want to defile us. They deceive us. I've sat with people many times, and they believe something so strongly that it's so deceived. And mostly false religions or like these spirits causing somebody to believe. Recently, I spent time with somebody, and they believe that they actually are an atheist now. And first, they've believed, but something is lying to them and saying, but God doesn't exist. I'm like, but we've prayed for you. Did you see what happened? No, yeah, but that's it's like, it's the thing is, that thing deceives you. It's crazy. And then they make people weak or sick. Some people sit with a chronic sickness, and it's not... Let me tell you, the doctor is not going to find a pill for that thing. Because it's spiritual. I once prayed with a guy who came to me for healing. He had back pain, severe back pain. And as I prayed for healing, the pain moved to his shoulder. I was like, what? you came here for back pain and now your pain is in the shoulder. So I was like, this is spiritual. So we prayed for him for deliverance and he walked out without any back pain. So there was something that was giving him back pain. And I didn't know what the thing's name was. So I said, you that is causing that back pain, leave now. I'm not interested in knowing these things' names. I'm not even interested in having long conversations with them. I want to be focused on Jesus and help people to be set free. And for me, I'm trusting that even through today, that there will be a sense of freedom. I haven't looked at my notes at all. Okay, so we come to the part. Then what did Jesus do when this demon was manifesting? Okay. He got the demon out of the man. All right. All right. It says, be quiet. Jesus said sternly, come out of him. And then the demon threw him, the man, down to before on the... Now we see when a demon come out, there is convulsion. There's many other scriptures. Like they convulse the boy, foaming at the mouth. So they don't want to go. They want to make this spooky and scary. But it's in the Bible, guys. It's something that Jesus has come to come and do. And we see the disciples also praying for people in Acts 5. We see in Acts 19 where there is a sense of people being set free. And I've seen, since I've walked with the Lord, that the Lord still is helping people to come free. Yes, when you start serving Jesus, renew your mind. Break these strongholds down. But when if you tried everything and you just keep on being enslaved, maybe it's time to tell this thing to come out. All right. Everybody still okay? Nobody afraid? Nobody wants to hit me? That happens when I speak about these things. Okay. All right. That's funny. I once prayed with somebody. I want to just tell some stories also. So I prayed with somebody, and the person, the demon speaking to the person, is saying like, I'm not afraid of anyone in this room. Now my insecure motives was like, oh, he's not afraid of me. And I was like, no. And I said, shh, let me remind you of what happened on the cross. And I just shared what Jesus has done. And that's my authority. That Jesus died on a cross. He rose again. And he's a resurrected king. And the thing is like, okay. So like, it's not about Morris. It's not about who you are. It's about what Jesus has done. That's our authority. He's the focus. And so Jesus, and why I'm saying this is like, Jesus comes and deals with these things. And he speaks sternly. Suddenly my notes showed up here so I can look at them. There's manifestations, but in Luke 4 verse 18, it says the following. When Jesus' ministry started, it says, the Spirit of the Lord's on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to prisoners. That's why Jesus came. Recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. 1 John 3 verse 8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. This is why Jesus came, for us to be free. So how do we get free? Okay, so we have to meet the conditions of being free. All right, okay. So let me just prepare you. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through the conditions of how to be free, and then I'm going to pray a prayer. Everybody that wants to pray the prayer, you can pray with me. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray this prayer, and we're going to go through these conditions. And then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say, if there's anything in these areas, I'm going to yachala. Okay. But if you don't want to pray the prayer, you don't have to. It's not compulsory. But I want to just do this. I was like, God, should I do this? Should I do this? And I just felt maybe I should just go. So please be free to not do it. But for us to be free, it's the first thing. And this is not my cleverness. This is, I've learned from a guy called Derek Prince. He's no longer with us. But these are things that I've seen is very powerful. And the first thing, condition of receiving your deliverance and freedom is to be humble. Humility is acknowledging that I need the Lord. If you think you're okay and it's my problem and I'll sort this out with this pill or that thing, guys, it's not going to work. You need to humble yourself. You need to come before the Lord. In James 4, it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So in the context of submitting to God, resisting the devil, it starts off with humility. And for us, it's the same. If you want to be free, you need to humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. If there's anything that it's harassing me or tormenting or defiling me, God, I humble myself and I say, I need you. I need you to come and set me free. I need you in my life. And then be honest. Do I have the things? Yeah. Thank you. All right. Don't worry about that. Okay, so be honest. Call the problem by its name. If it's sin, call it sin. Repent of that sin. Don't say, it's my condition. If it's sin, repent of that sin. Don't try to talk it right. Don't try to be honest about what you are struggling with. Then confess your faith in Christ. And this is something maybe that I want us to, just before we pray, is like, if you do not know Jesus, this is not going to work for you. Because if you do not know Jesus, it's Jesus that set us free. So we're not going to throw holy water on you and garlic you and grace. That, you need to have the Spirit in you. When you watch those evil movies, don't watch them, man, because they open up doors. They open up doors for the enemy. So you have to confess your faith in Jesus, that you need Jesus, that He is the Lord of your life. And maybe today you've just gone through this life and actually have not served Jesus. Today is today. I'm going to give an opportunity for you to say, I want to receive Jesus in my life. I want His Spirit in my life. I want to be free. Then repent. Or first confess any known sin of yourself and your ancestors. Like, confess is just acknowledgement that that sin was wrong. Acknowledgement that these things are wrong and I'm breaking from these things. Repent of these things. Take responsibility. There's a scripture. I don't think it's up there. It says the following, Proverbs 28. When the wicked rise, people hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increases. So when the wicked perish, the righteous increase. And I think as we repent of these wickedness, these evil things in our lives, this sin, it is like righteousness rise. We actually become more like Jesus. And then there's break every contact with the occult. Sometimes we have things and we play demonic games. We watch demonic things and it's occultic things. And then we think, why am I struggling? You're actually opening up a door for the enemy in your life to actually stop doing those things, to break every contact with the occult. Some of us actually in our previous, before we got to know Jesus, we got involved with some occultic things, with reading tarot cards and starter cake and all, not starter. Was cake for stara, but I bet your staracy is that horoscopes and we actually, what we're doing is we're asking a demon to say something over us, and then that thing slaves us and traps us. To break every contact of every occultic thing. Then forgive all other people. Forgiveness, this thing is so powerful. Many times we pray for people and then there's an area of, say, resentment or like, and we pray and that thing doesn't want to go. And it's like, okay, cool, let's stop. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? And then person forgives and then we pray again and then it goes. Stronghold gone. It's nothing to hold on. It's, I don't have to shout at the person. I don't have to push them to the ground. It's what you've seen in the movies. It's not what it should be. Okay. All right. It is just Jesus coming to set people free. Okay. And then stand on scripture. I'm almost finished. Joel 2, verse 32 say, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the King James says, they shall be delivered. Other translation says, they will be saved. So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, stand upon that. Lord, you want, Jesus, you came into this earth to set us free. This is why you came. So I can stand on that truth that you are here to set me free. Luke 10 verse 19. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on scorpions and serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. And I think many of us are afraid of these things. And that's why I call it the elephant in the room, because we don't want to talk about it. this thing's going to jump on me. If you don't have willful, unrepented sin in your life, if you forgive quickly, if you don't deal with the occult, these things can't just jump on you. But if you are not just a normal Christian, because it's the basics of Christianity, then I will not necessarily be there. But if you're following Jesus, of a real Christian, these things cannot just jump on you. They're actually afraid of Jesus in you. And I've seen this. They're afraid of that. And as you start taking your stand, that Jesus will come and set you free. Okay. Everybody okay? Are you ready to pray? Okay. Everybody, I asked that again. But you okay? Nobody wants to run out. Close the door. No. Just a joke, okay? You see, it's not a spooky thing, guys. It is just a normal thing. Okay, it's all right. It's a yes, plus. Okay. All right. Okay, so before we pray, I just want to give an opportunity, if there's somebody here today that do not know Jesus, for you to make a decision to follow Jesus. It's the best decision that you will ever make in your life. You know, I was a very good person, as I thought, but I was a very good person going to hell because I did not have Jesus in my life. And many of us maybe had a different route. We were in massive addictions and all those things and some different journey. But we're all going to hell if we don't have Jesus in our lives. And the Bible says that the wages of sin, is dood. The wages of sin is death. And you will find that you, as that first picture I showed, like you will find that you are dead inside if you do not know Jesus. It's like this dead inside. When we were in Team T, they spoke about the liver Jesus gaiki. And there's an area in your life that can only be filled with Christ. And if you do not have Him, I want to give an opportunity for you to receive Him today. And all you need to do is to turn away from your sin, to repent today. And even maybe you've served Him in a time ago, but you want to come back to Him today. I want to give an opportunity for you to respond right now. You have to repent of your sin. By faith, receive Him in your life. Believe that He is the Son of God, that He is, and then receive Him as your Lord and Savior and turn from the way of life that you've been living. Okay, so can we just close our eyes before we're going to pray the prayer? So if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, I'm going to give an opportunity for you to just quickly put up your hand, and I would love to pray with you. Because this is the first step of the prayer. I don't want you to start praying and prayer and then you're not one of His. Okay. There's a hand there in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Even if you want to make a decision to come back to Jesus,